Are you a 3PL spending more time and money than you'd like recruiting and onboarding logistics roles? Then it's time to check out Rapido Solutions Group, the leaders in nearshore logistics staffing. Located right next door in Mexico, they have access to the freight talent you need. From carrier sales to tracking and tracing and everything in between, they can do the heavy lifting for you. So if you're ready to get your time back and want to move fast, check out Rapido Solutions Group. Visit gorapido.com to get started today. Hello, and welcome to the Bootstrapper's Guide to Logistics, the podcast highlighting founders doing it the way that doesn't get a lot of attention. We're here to change that by sharing their stories and inspiring others to take the leap.
It's a roller coaster ride. You might ultimately fail.
That's when I kind of knew I was on to something.
It was very hard.
It truly is building a legacy.
The more life you live, the more wisdom you have.
Because we are where we're supposed to be, kind of answering the call.
Don't shoulder entrepreneurship on your own.
I'm your host, Nate Schutz. Let's build something together from the ground up. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the show. We are going to have a wide-ranging conversation today with Katie Keach, the founder and CEO of Full Advantage in Allentown, PA. Katie, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Nate. How are you? Thank you for having me on the show.
I'm on my third cup of coffee. I'm in a great mood. I might have a little too much energy today, but I'm sure you can match it. And I've already gotten to know some of your background, but I don't know if many people have as broad of a reach of life experiences as you do. And so I want to go into the corporate background of what you've been up to, your history with basketball, going off and starting your own company, and then also doing a nonprofit. I mean, that's a lifetime's worth of activity, and you're not that much older than me. And I don't know how you've managed to get all that done in such a short amount of time. So I want to maybe let's just start with what is Full Advantage and why did you decide to start a company involved in freight in the first place?
Yeah. So Full Advantage is a full service back office solution. We do billing, payment processing, credit collections, accounting, finance, the full gambit of all the things that you need to run a successful business besides sales and service. And really the need was started off the fact of focusing on, you know, wanting to have a business that could help entrepreneurs continue to scale their businesses, and realizing that I felt like I had the secret sauce to being able to put the processes and procedures in place. So super, super excited that we were able to launch in 2019. We are going on 5 years together today and super happy about the progress that we've made.
So I'm not going to lie, not that I don't like accounting and finance and all of that, but it's not exactly what most small business owners get into business thinking that they really are looking forward to. You know what I can't wait to do is go move some freight and then take care of billing. Yet that's the place that you've been active in for a few decades. How did you find or learn about yourself that this was an area of interest at all?
Yeah. So, you know, I came from a background working for Worldwide Express. I went in as right out of high school, believe it or not. And I had just started there. I guess I was like 18 years old. Yeah. Crazy to think I was 18 years old. And when I had started, I didn't even know what freight was, didn't even know what supply chain was. Started with them when they were under 5 million in size, and really helped to learn all of the ins and outs of the business. Starting with the back office, that's where they brought me in. But I've done operations, I've done credit collections, I've seen accounting and finance. And I've really was able, through my 14-year career there, we grew it to over 1.5 billion. And we had lots of mergers and acquisitions, so lots to learn from that, right? And survived a recession, 08, 09, survived DHL, our largest partner, leaving the U.S. overnight, ended up with UPS. So it was just so many trials and tribulations that I got to have what I consider like a decade, you know, of experience. But I feel like it was probably somebody's career lifetime of experience, right? So after I had done that, I really thought, well, man, if I could do what I've been able to do here, I'm sure that I could do it on a larger scale and for organizations and help more of the small to medium-sized businesses and even larger continue to grow. And my first client wanted to have me come on as a full-time operator. They, of course, it was our largest competitor. I'll leave their name out. But they had reached out and said, hey, can you come on? We saw you're no longer with them. Would love to have you come and do what you've done there. At that point, they're around $250 million in size. And I said, no, but I got a better idea. You could be my first client. And they were with me for 4.5 years, actually, until very, very recently. And it's such a huge success. It was supposed to be a temporary thing and turned out to be a long-term relationship. And they now have the multi-billion dollar organization. And I got to be a part of that growth. And so it was neat to be able to take what we've built and be able to replicate it from that experience, but then also to be a part of other organizations. And as you can imagine, they weren't the only client I got to work with over that 5-year timeframe.
So what's it like, or what are the differences when you're working with a company that's, let's say, 100 million, mm-hmm. and then they become a billion-dollar company?
Yeah.
Is it just more zeros at the end of the number? Or do the problems just change at different sizes?
Yeah, that's a great point. So it's definitely more zeros, right? But also the fact that you do have different problems. And I'm even going through that and as a bootstrapped business myself, you know, I'm going through that myself, right? You go through different stages as you add another zero, as part of my feeling, at least. I don't know if anybody else resonates with that. And so we had lots of different learning bumps, things that we had to go through, and how we had to adapt and be adaptable to the environments and the ever-changing economic landscape. And so, yeah, it's been one of those things where, you know, I feel that I had different challenges, but very similar.
What's the best part about going from a company where you're, you know, leading departments and all of that and have a salary and bonus and, you know, equity into now you are it? Like what do you love about having your own shop?
I, you know, what I love about it is the fact that I get to call the shots, right? I get to be creative and I get to really make my own decisions that maybe other people wouldn't agree with or wouldn't necessarily start out with. And I think that allows me to be more nimble, but also to be able to make decisions much quicker and to know that, you know, I'm not just making the decisions obviously for my company, but I'm making the best recommendations for my clients, and being able to see how that's impacted their businesses has been really great. But also understanding that it is a recommendation. At the end of the day, we are all our own, you know, bosses as entrepreneurs. And so I just give my advice, I share my story, and I wait to kind of see how they react and what questions they have and what direction they decide to go. And of course, I'm always supportive of it because I'm in the same shoes that they are. And, you know, you got to take some risk at times.
So to have that conviction of I'm going to go off and start this thing, and then I have to have a point of view that I'm willing to stand behind to influence other companies to improve their performance, et cetera. Where does your confidence come from? Because it's clearly, that's one of the things I like the most about you, Katie, is you know yourself, you're a very confident person. Where did that come from?
You know, I have always, and this is not to, I'm a very humble person, as you know, Nate. I think you've gotten to know me well enough, but I have always been confident. And I think that comes from one thing that's born in you. I've been around very confident people, very secure people. And also the fact that I was an athlete. Mm. The discipline that you need to have and the confidence you need to have when you go on the court, whether it's for a tryout, whether it's for a game, whether it's for, you know, a tournament, those kind of things. I think you had to have those skills. And I've just continued to carry that through. I'm also a sponge. So don't get that, like, I'm confident, but I'm also very open to learning and hearing how people make changes in their business, how people have different situations that they need to address and hearing ideas and thoughts on that, and not just going with, oh, well, I'm the only one that knows how to do it this one way.
So what are the highest highs that you had as an athlete, and what was the lowest low?
We'll be right back.
Have you heard about Bitfreighter and the EDI revolution? Bitfreighter helps companies automate communication with their freight partners through unlimited messaging and quoting. Traditional providers can't say that. The Bitfreighter team is also available 24/7 and responds immediately by phone, email, or yes, even text. Legacy providers can't say that either. So if you want to scale your operations to save time and money, come join the EDI revolution with us. Visit bitfreighter.com to get started today.
The highest high, I would say that as a freshman, I made the varsity team and I was super excited. And I would say my low would be my senior year. I did not get to play. And, you know, my basketball career ended over injury. And so, you know, if I get to have two highs to that, though, I would say my second high is when I had a little girl and I got to put a ball in her hand and got to go do the story all over again. And I think this next chapter is yet to be written. So I'm very, very, again, very aware, very humbled by my highs and my lows.
What happened with an injury? If I'm being honest, I'm not an athlete. I wish I was. But if I was a good athlete in my freshman year and on varsity and then made it to my senior year and then got hurt and couldn't play, I'd be pretty bitter about it.
Yeah. Ooh, Nate, that is a topic that is really obviously a part of my story, but it was very hard. I went through depression. I went through trying to find myself and figuring out what the next rendition of me was going to be. I can say it was a rough 6 months. I was on the team my senior year. I just didn't get to make the impact and get the college offers and go do the things that I was being, you know, set up from childhood on to do.
And so you missed out on college scholarships because of this?
Yeah, I did. Once I had that, so my first injury was in my junior year, middle of my season. And then my second one was the other side, and they're two freak accidents. Another day, I'll tell you the whole story, or listen to my podcast one day called It Beyond the Ball. That's helped me in still coping with all those chapters of my life. But, I had 6 months of just searching for how was I supposed to use all of these techniques, all of these skill sets to go on in life, because I thought it was only applicable to basketball. And as a part of my corporate journey, I was able to, you know, why I went into corporate America right out of high school is because I was like, oh, I can use all these disciplines and all these things that I learned from being an athlete to be a employee. I mean, that's what I was. I was just an employee to start, $10 an hour. But ultimately, I used that and I climbed the ladder. I became a director of credit and collections for a global logistics company and got to scale and grow with them and have equity stake in the company, still have that equity today. It's crazy that it turned, I was able to take the story, rewrite it, or republish it, maybe is a better way to say it, right? And use those techniques and understand how they were applicable. But yeah, I was bitter. I was angry. And it was a rough 6 months. But luckily, I was 6 months and I looked myself in the mirror one day. I was like, that's it. You're done feeling sorry for yourself. You're done doing these stupid things. Let's figure out how to reignite the flame of your energy and who you really are, because this isn't it.
So you mentioned your daughter. I'm wondering if you said confidence you feel like you were born with, but it sounds like resilience was something that you only developed through hardship.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know if we're born resilient or not. That's maybe a philosophical question, but as you know, now parent and coach, how do you think about how to help your daughter navigate the inevitable highs and lows that she's going to experience?
Yeah. So, well, we talk about it, right? Like the biggest thing is, and my little girl gang, as I call them, my squad is deep because I've been able to make impact both middle school through high school kids. And I'm even talking to some, we've got college kids in the mix now, and even post-college, that we just continue to grow the, what I call the girl gang. And it's to share the stories. It's to get these girls to understand that, yes, you're in a chapter of your life where you need to put the discipline, the hard work, and dial in and understand what's going on. You're going to have tribulations, whether it be injury, whether it be a coach that maybe you're not seeing eye to eye with, things you don't agree with, but use it, understand what this is supposed to be teaching you, right? And then figure out how it's going to help you in the future. And so it's just talking about it, Nate. Like, we're talking about it. We're being open and honest about it. She knows I'm on YouTube. She Googles. She listens to the podcast my husband and I shoot. She hears the stories, and we are very encouraging of it. I will say, my husband and I are both very confident people, as you've said. He's also confident, which is, most people think they're going to meet this guy. And my husband is, you know, pretty massive individual. He's a big football player, as I tell people, but he's got a personality too. And so, well, you would think our daughter's that. She's actually the exact opposite. So really working with her, because I think we're both pretty strong personalities that she's been around for such a long time, and continuing to be like, control your destiny, speak up for yourself, advocate for yourself, listen to others, be a sponge, but don't be afraid of a little chip on your shoulder, because you have a lot to offer the world and you should be confident about that.
I'm going to have to introduce you to my daughter, because I'm hearing a lot of connections. My daughter is 18. She's a freshman in college and she's going for finance. And her, part of her story is she was a very good volleyball player as she came up through middle school and then got into high school. And yet as a junior, she didn't make varsity. And that was a really, really tough blow. Yeah. And most people in that situation quit, or they give up, or they just get really angry. And I was so proud of her. She ended up making the decision to be the student manager, which in some regards was very, very humbling. But she got to practice with the team every single day. She didn't get to play the entire year, but she got to practice. Then she made the squad her senior year. And during the team's best run that they'd had in years, her stepbrother passed away unexpectedly. And things got very, very hard for her very quickly. And a week later was homecoming, and she won homecoming queen. And the following week, her team made it to state for volleyball. And they ended up winning the consolation bracket. And to see her go through a year's worth of setbacks and really hard work and then tragedy, and then to have her entire school rally around her and support her and love on her to make it all the way to the consolation game and then win as a senior. I don't know if I have ever been as proud of her as I was in that moment, and still am to this day. She's going to be an amazingly successful businesswoman. She'll be a CFO by the time she's 30, I'm absolutely convinced of it. But a lot of that came through really, really difficult circumstances. And it feels like nowadays, both as helicopter parents are out there, you know, actively in the world is trying to be made safer and safer for kids, that they're almost protected from hardship in a lot of ways. And it feels like it's a missed opportunity to develop character.
Yeah. First, I would love to meet her, because I think that it's great to connect. It's great to, I wish I had someone to been able to talk through things. I was very close with my grandmother, who was a very impressive for her time. Then that's definitely been my mentor and somebody that I had wanted to exemplify and make proud. But there were things that we didn't talk about. There were things, she wasn't vulnerable about her story. She wasn't open about her, you know, things. She was more of a listening ear, sounding board, if you will, where I like to be both. I am very open about what I've been through in all aspects. And I'm not afraid or ashamed of those stories, because I think they definitely have shaped who I am today. what an incredible story your daughter, your stepdaughter has, you know, and I would love to meet her. Sorry that she left her stepbrother, but I would definitely say that he was with her through that journey. And the fact that you see that opportunity. One other thing that resounded with me in what you just said was I've always appeared to be older than what I am. So I'm actually 37 years old. And right, I was expecting you to have that reaction. I will be 38 this year. And to think all the things that I've been through and I'm not yet 40 is a part of that journey. And so why I've been so passionate about reaching out to our high school team and talking to people about all the things that I've gone through, both in my corporate journey, you know, of the bootstrap, right? But also in the nonprofit journey that we've now started and all the things is because I think that this is what's going to help more people to be prepared. And there's a lot of parents spending time with these athletes, all sports. I'm not even going to segment boy or girl. I'm not going to segment a sport. I'm going to say it's very visible if you watch in today's day and age where people are paying for private training sessions and trying to level their kids up over somebody else hand over fist right now. And maybe, you know, sacrificing their own personal things for their kid to have those, right? I could tell you hours of stories of people telling me what they're not doing for themselves so their kids can have these opportunities. And at times I feel like I have to remind parents around me and my friends and, you know, even acquaintances to be like, the end result is less than 0.005 going to play a professional sport. Uh-huh. And while the scholarship is great, you know, there is a mental preparation that I think we need to, and I'm not talking about, you know, how are you doing today? And my daughter and I've actually had that conversation where I feel like the schools are actually having a really hard time with figuring out how to do the social and emotional learning.
Sure.
I said, listen, asking a person every single day how they're doing and tilting your head, eventually they're going to be like, is being good not okay anymore, mom? That's not what I mean by this. What I mean by this is to say that the mental preparation, like you talk about mental toughness, is having more people sharing their stories, having your daughter be able to go, I got cut as a junior, but I stayed, you know, a manager of the team and I have the next chapter to go with it. Every part of these things that we've gone through as adults or even as kids, I mean, again, I was a kid just like she was. And I didn't realize how it was shaping me as an adult. And I didn't even realize how later on in my mid-30s, I would realize it's at some point, which I did at around 35, that, oh my gosh, I meant to do something even greater than be a businesswoman and a founder. Mm-hmm. And so stay tuned for whatever that is. But I'm just very, very big about sharing and talking about these things.
Well, let's go past life after the basketball or life after the game. I think part of why I thought you were older is, again, you've compressed so much experience into such a short window.
Yeah.
Most people aren't thinking about legacy level impact until much later. And yet you've launched a podcast. Congratulations. I'm super proud of you, and we'll do whatever we can to support you and help spread the word about that. And you and your husband have also started a nonprofit. What is the what do you feel like your bigger purpose is with it?
Yeah. So thank you for the congratulations. The name of our nonprofit is Keach Basketball Legacy. And the idea is because I believe it's to leave the legacy and to help other families, even though it's our name, be a part of that legacy, which will in turn help their legacy, right? The idea spawned from just seeing a need for more of this communication. I want to build a facility that meets the kids where they are, middle school through college, for training, weightlifting, all the things that I talked about people are doing. But I also want to bring in, you know, people to educate them about NIL, social media, life coaches.
What's NIL?
Name, image, and likeness. So
okay.
It's really changed the game of the sport because now kids 8 years old and older can now make money off of by corporations. Corporations can fund these kids based on YouTube. It's the influencer world, if you will.
Sure. Okay.
It's the you know, I forget, affiliate marketing, you know, where they have the partnership and things like that. And so, but I want to educate about that. So I want to have a classroom setting where we can have sports psychologists come in, where we can have educators come in, where we can offer financing classes so they can learn how to save money and budget and be, you know, responsible, employable adults. And I really believe that it's to talk about life after basketball. That'll be the main focus of the nonprofit. We are talking about it already in the podcast. We're talking about it in the newsletter, but at the same time, and it's kind of weird, we're talking about how it's impacted us, but then also working with kids right now that are just beginning their journey and putting them on national stages and finding partnerships with big corporations to start to bring in what I hope to be the future employable talent of tomorrow for them. So our slogan's to today's athletes, tomorrow's leaders. And it's really focused on helping to create a well-rounded executive that comes with both the team experience, the athletic discipline, and then mental resilience and all the things that go into it.
When I first started this podcast, there was a question around, is there a big enough audience for logistics to support listenership for an industry? But then it's even more narrow than that because we only talk about entrepreneurship, or that those are our guests. Then it's even more narrow than that because we highlight the bootstrappers. So we have a pretty small
niche
group of people, and they're like, is that a big enough topic? And one of the things that I knew early on was this, our common thread is logistics. We all are in this industry in one way, shape, or form. And that's still some broad appeal with an asterisk next to it. It's still pretty nerdy, but
it is.
I own it. I love logistics with I'm unashamed about it. And I also love Microsoft Excel. So that's who you're talking to. But I knew that there is a universal appeal to the deeper why and purpose behind why people start companies and to show up every single day and do logistics or to run a company can only sustain you for so long. You're going to have good cycles. You're going to have bad cycles. And if that's if you're only doing it for money, you can't sustain that forever. And so there has to be a higher why or a deeper why behind it. And it sounds like what you're doing with Full Advantage and what you've done in your career in logistics is now creating the environment for you to be able to go out and have a bigger impact socially and with people, with kids, and impact people far beyond the industry. Do you ever look back and say, I never expected that this would emerge from freight?
Yes, regularly. I always say that I grew up in logistics and supply chain, right? Because working for 14 years and I had no idea what it was. I remember going to like my first event and then being like, you know, it was a company holiday party and they didn't really know how to handle it because I was the youngest ever hired in the company. And they normally would hire, you know, 21-year-olds, but there was something about me, I guess, that I was the first one to ever be hired that was younger than that. So they like tried to put a bracelet on. But the point of that to be, I remember going, I know nothing about this industry, but I know that I want to learn it. And now today I've used it so many different ways. I've said that there's times that I've tried to get away from it because it is a grind. And anybody who's listening to this knows that. It's recession proof in some ways. I know people argue that with the market and whatnot, but you're always going to need to move product. You're always going to need to deliver goods, right? So That's what I mean by recession proof. It's not like an AI could replace logistics and supply chain. It can enhance it, not replace it. But the other thing of it is, I feel like I've been able to learn so much from my clients that are in the space. So we've had startups, we've had international companies, we've had SaaS companies in the logistics space. I don't know if you know that I'm a co-founder also of a payment processing company specifically for supply chain and logistics. And so I've created tech around it. And so it's been definitely more often than not, I would say, do I look back at throughout my day and go, holy crap, this all came from saying yes to an interview, you know, and it's just incredible.
Well, that was maybe the door that was open, but you had to walk through it. Can I ask a different question? Again, I'm thinking about my daughter now. She joined a finance club as a freshman at her university. And out of 60 or 70 students, there was only 3 women. And, you know, the bro energy was pretty strong. What has your journey been as a woman in finance? And what advice would you have for anybody else?
Well, oddly enough, yes, it has been a male-dominated, finance itself is a male-dominated industry. So logistics and supply chain really was male-dominated 14 years ago. It is recently, I feel like, becoming way more female. I spoke in front of women in trucking and things like that. And so it just seeing this continued involvement makes me smile. But it's definitely given me thicker skin. I think I don't have the woe is me story as it relates to that, believe it or not. The executives, you know, especially our VPs and our directors, most importantly at Worldwide, were some of my greatest champions, the males. And even in sales, the VPs and directors of sales were, and still are, friends today and champions today. And so I can only speak that, yes, it was a male-dominated world that I was a sponge in, and I was surrounded by men that were super supporters and champions of my story. And it gave me an ability to put more of that around me, right? To have more women that I'm like, hey, you can do this. They're very embracing, and really, again, watching how much it's evolved now in the industry, both finance and the logistics supply chain. It's been so cool to see both of them are continuing to evolve. But yes, they are, it's not for the weak at heart. That's what I say. You got to be able to roll with punches. You got to be able to take constructive criticism. But if you do and you take the leap, it can be really rewarding.
I just got done watching the Barbie movie with our rewatching it, and there's this wonderful monologue in it where America Ferrera is speaking about the difficulties of being a woman in this case, sort of in a leadership capacity too. And it's great to hear that you've had that support around you, and maybe not have to head contort yourself to the, you know, be confident, but don't be too bold. Have certainty, but don't be aggressive.
Yep.
And trying to strike that middle balance. And that's not something that I can relate to as a white, you know, well-educated male. I feel the phrase I would use is the temperature is set to me in every room that I walk into. I don't have to change who I am or try to think about how other people might receive what I'm about to say. And so there's this whole extra layer of what women, especially in leadership and in finance and in supply chain, have to go through. I don't know. I don't have any advice for anybody in that arena, but I do have a challenge maybe that those men that you're talking about that were supportive of you, like if you're listening and you're in that camp, you have an obligation to be that person. This isn't about, hey, women, do something different, or maybe if you change this, then you can be that. No, you have to have and be surrounded by an environment that supports that. And that's maybe the challenge if you're listening to say, are you being an ally in that sense, or are you just being silent? Social media has done a lot of good, especially on LinkedIn, in this industry where you can, you do see bad behavior called out, and we have an industry to take care of, and we have an obligation to preserve the common square, or the where we do commerce, and social media is our town square right now. So again, that's the opportunity. It's the challenge. It is, let's try to do better together on this. And man, it's our responsibility to clean up our side of it, because by and large, we, by percentages, have a higher degree of leadership roles, board seats, ownership and venture capital, you name it. And we need to be a part of making it better. So challenge thrown down, I suppose. But it's essential, and that's part of our bigger why with the show here, is we do want to highlight and celebrate people doing and building companies the way that doesn't get a lot of attention. And that's bootstrapped, which is hard by itself. In this industry is harder. As a female, perhaps hardest of all.
Yeah, man. So much to unpack there. And like, first, let me go back to the monologue, because when I took my daughter, and her best friend and her best friend's mom and I went to see that movie. And showing up, first of all, we did the drive-in theater. And the female empowerment, just as, and I know that sounds so cliche, but like, it was so cool from what we drove into to that drive-in theater and all the pink and what you saw. And then what you saw looking at each other, walking out, driving out. And in that monologue, I have goosebumps saying what I'm about to say, was a huge part of that, because I feel like it was the thing that everybody wishes they could have articulated. And America Ferrera did it so beautifully and so perfectly. And the writers, I know, obviously are the ones that wrote it and deserve the most attention. But she delivered it in a way that I don't know that anybody else could have. And I still go back and read that monologue today and still resonate with it, because I can, while I had these champions, I've been in plenty of situations, whether it be when I was at, in my worldwide days, talking to customers, and they were, you know, a CEO of a company, and like, get your boss on the phone, right? Like, I don't want to talk to you. You don't know what you're talking about. I've had plenty of stories that I won't take up the time on, but I've definitely experienced where I've intimidated men just by being present. I've had people go, you're very intimidating. I have been told that you don't have enough knowledge, you're too young. You know, all the things that, because I did get such experience, that people are like, it's hard to believe this person has this kind of background and this understanding and energy, because I don't drink coffee, going all the way back. I live off water, and I just have this natural energy. And so I love that you challenge people. I hope that you get a hashtag challenge accepted, because I think it's going to be super important as we go forward that everybody continues to go through that. And yes, I will say, as a female, there, more often than not, it is walking into rooms and you're the underdog. But when you get to the point of the conversation where you're like, I've been accepted, I've been heard, I've been understood, there's nothing more rewarding than that. And so I hope that our younger people that are listening, I'll tell you, my girl gang, as soon as we put the show out, they're going to listen. And it's one of the biggest things that makes me know that I have to invest in all of these opportunities and these stages, because I know they're listening. And that has taken me to a different place, knowing and seeing them in the back of my mind anytime I speak, to go, what do you want them to hear from this? What do you want them to take? And it's to understand that life's going to be full of challenges. You're going to have to continue as a female to always assert yourself, but be respectful. And, you know, some things that people, you know, around you can't resonate with and don't understand because, like you said, it's you can't put yourself there. You can't talk about your experience.
Well, thanks for sharing your experience. One of the things that I've realized as I've listened more is how many things I just wasn't aware of in regards to this. My daughter, same daughter, Layla went to the Taylor Swift concert in Minneapolis last year, and she described something similar to that camaraderie that you shared about the movie, in that she felt physically safe at the concert the entire time. And she'd not felt that before at a concert. And it was because Taylor Swift has created an environment and a following that has a culture of empowerment. And it's not something that I had ever consciously thought about, feeling physically safe or unsafe at a concert. And so when she shared that with me, it opened up my eyes to another world of experiences that doesn't affect me. I've never felt physically unsafe at a rock concert before. And now I'm aware of that for others. And it's changed, not necessarily my behavior, but it's changed my posture to just simply be more alert to those kinds of things. And bringing it back to LinkedIn and our industry, occasionally I'll see people comment on someone's appearance, and it's only women. They're only commenting on women's appearances. You don't ever see somebody calling out a man for being ugly or being attractive. I've only ever seen it directed at women. And that, as our town square, it's a chance for us to call that out. Again, we didn't expect to go here today, Katie. We have no script. We're just talking and learning.
We're just talking.
And learning and listening from, or listening and learning from each other. Thanks for going here. Again, as a bootstrapped founder in logistics, that's just one facet of who you are. You're a complete person with a full and rich life of all of the other facets that we all have as individuals. And we just simply like to be able to highlight that and unlock who you are naturally as a person and share that with others. And so can we maybe spend a minute and talk a little bit more about Full Advantage? Like who do you seek as customers and how do you help them and how can we help drive awareness for what you're building?
Yeah. So, you know, we work with people of all different sizes when it comes to the organization. You know, my team ends up coming on board in one of two ways. We end up coming on board to help your internal team do things better, get processes, build out, you know, teams and understanding credit policy, level up the training, role playing. I mean, the list goes on. And the other side of it is you can outsource to us. We can be a tool in the arsenal that is, you know, escalated to should the in-house team need an extra hand, or should you just decide that you don't want to have an in-house team and you want to have it completely outsourced. You know, so we cater our offerings to fit the needs of our clients. And because I think the logistics world, first of all, I always tell people it's its own lingo. Like if you don't know the lingo, you're probably already behind, right? So the fact that I've invested all of this time of my career learning it, I want to continue to share it and educate. And so being able to hire people and we bring them in and we teach them the lingo. We teach them how the companies are different, the service offerings, what a BOL is, what LTL means, what truckload means, what rail means, you know, and you really learn that everybody has different needs in their businesses. And we're able to meet them where they are and help them through the journey with a solution of people hired, trained, managed by us, but ready to be a part of their team.
Well, thank you again. If you are a bootstrap founder or a founder of any kind in logistics, you know the importance of cash flow. And this is typically a negative cash flow industry. If you're on the broker or the carrier side, you're paying somebody in 7 to 10 days, you're getting paid in 30 to 120 days. And the companies that make it aren't necessarily the ones that have the highest profitability. It's the ones that have cash in the bank when you need to have cash in the bank. So if you are one of those companies that maybe you don't feel like you've got it all under control, or you've got a bookkeeper or somebody who doesn't know the industry, you should reach out to Katie and her team. She'd be more than happy to help you out. And we're just going to keep spreading the word and growing this community of founders that we've built by supporting one another in community, education, sharing stories, all of it soup to nuts. So thanks again for sticking with us for this long. Katie, we wish you nothing but the best in 2024. We are all rooting for you.
Thank you, Nate. I'm so excited that I got this opportunity to be on the show today. Please let me know if I can ever come back and be of assistance and however I can serve.
What is your website, by the way, or your web address or email address if you'd like to share too?
Yeah, so it's www.fulladvantage.co.co. And people can find us at info@fulladvantage.co.
Love it. Thank you, Katie. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Bootstrapper's Guide to Logistics. And a special thank you to our sponsors and the team behind the scenes who make it all possible. Be sure to like, follow, or subscribe to the podcast to get the latest updates. To learn more about the show and connect with the growing community of entrepreneurs, visit logisticsfounders.com. And of course, thank you to all the founders who trust us to share their stories.